I want to share a burden. It needs a little background to the burden. There were two words, were two things I believe God was speaking to me. And it's something that I used to be very familiar with, but something that I lost grip of. And maybe that may be your own experience too. It's something called the worship of the beast. So I'm going to need a little background, maybe, because some of us may have forgotten all about it. To some others, it may sound a bit technical, but it's in your Bible. And for me, it is a matter of life and death. You know, that I have to walk by it, not just understand. Because if I understand it in my head, and I don't walk by it, you know, they say in the law, ignorance is not an excuse. You know, the fact that I'm ignorant, you know, and like Paul said, well, for someone like me, I have to make sure I explain it. That way I am free. You know, that if I don't explain it, then when they are bringing Cain, I will be among those people, they will say, well, you should have explained it, you didn't explain it, so you have had your own share. So how many interests? Part of the interest is to explain it, because I'm supposed to explain it. And then two, I'm supposed to also walk in it, walk in it. Because I see that I'm not walking in it, and many of us, I don't think, are doing so. And it's not going to be taken as an excuse. The warfare is becoming very fierce. So we need to raise our game, if you understand what I mean, to be able to operate at a much higher level. That's one. The second one, I shared yesterday in the fellowship, so it's like a carryover thought from yesterday, but yesterday we didn't go deep. We just talked a little bit. It's a word about about the priest. You know, yesterday I heard something I hadn't heard for a long time. I mean, I was blown away. I was telling my wife, I said it was exciting. The sister was sharing about the temptations of Jesus, and she said the devil took Jesus to the top of the pinnacle, and she said the pinnacle of the temple is the mind. That was new on me completely yesterday, and it was a very good blessing for me. I never saw it in that. I knew I would say he took him to the spirit. I just put spirit and that and ended it. But I didn't. You know, yesterday she brought it where it should be. At that top of the pinnacle is the mind. Because the temple, we are the temple, is it not? You know, so most of the time we have this thought block. There is a reality. We just hang in the reality, but we haven't brought it and applied it to ourselves. It's not an excuse. Whether you apply it or not, God expects you to walk, and by the way, if you don't walk by it, but if you don't walk by it, the devil will continue to have an upper hand. My concern always is how can I be much more ahead of the devil, to overcome, because God expects me to overcome. It was like I said, I have two interests. One, I'm expected to explain it. the way I understand it, that's one. In the way that, to be clear for others, then that way I'm free in that line. Secondly, I'm also expected to walk in it. So usually, by talking about it, it will be clearer, and it will be clear to me I can also walk in it. So I have a selfish interest in it. So I hope you can permit my selfishness. Amen. So we are speaking about, I said the first thing was about the worship of the beast and the image of the beast. It's something that we used to hear many years ago. I used to talk a lot about many years. I backslid from talking about it. So I'm actually repenting from backsliding and hoping I can be restored. Amen. The second thing was about, I was talking about the high priest. The high priest, of course, has five levels of dressing. Five. And you know what five stands for? Science is grace, ministry, you know, you can apply. But that's not where I'm going to. The most important one, which God speak to me, because I was in the situation, God said, this is your problem, because you have not, your mind is uncovered. Now, for the high priest, his mind was not uncovered. He told him, you will make a plate, he said, thou shalt make a plate of gold. I'm quoting Exodus 28, somewhere around 13, 14 in the middle. He said, thou shalt make a plate of gold, and you will engrave, you use the word, you will engrave on it. He didn't say right. You engrave. Engrave means, you know, you have to sit down. And we'll come back to engrave. But you will engrave on it the word holiness to the Lord. Amen. And then he said you will put it on a background of blue. Okay, those colors are not there for, you know, there's a background of blue. Then you put the plate of gold on it. And then use the blue and tie it around. So when you see the high priest, what will you be seeing? You see a writing, okay, on the forehead. I hope you know what the forehead signifies. What does the forehead signify? Okay, so God is speaking about the mind of the priest. Is that not the pinnacle of the temple? Is that the pinnacle of the temple? Hey, say yes now, if you are with me. Yeah. So it's the same pinnacle of the temple that the devil is playing around with. Alright? So he took him up there. And by the way, where did the devil take Eve to? Can you remember? Where did Eve go with the devil? Where did they go to? They went to the same pinnacle of the temple. And he began to show her. Okay, he says, you know, Brakas, God bless you, God shaking his hand, he's swallowing me. Amen. He took him again. The devil is not going anywhere else with you. He's going to where? He's not going to change it. Amen. Because he believes that we are not diligent enough. We'll just talk about it today. After tomorrow or next, we'll just go to talk about other things. Okay, but this night we're talking about this pinnacle of the temple, the mind. And God is saying, if you want to be a priest, you want to overcome. Because God said to me, the reason why you are falling is because you have not concerned about your mind. Amen. I'm telling you what God said to me. You know. And yesterday we were talking about, of course, the fellowship yesterday zeroed in on me. And this morning I got a quickening to do this. So we are speaking about the worship of the beast and speaking about a golden plate. Both of them are technical, because you know you have to explain it. They are not things that will go through. So I want to take a little bit of time and explain it quickly. We are all agreed about the tension of the temple, that we are the temple of the living God, or the temple. Okay? And in this temple, you have three spiritual realities, experiences. The body, the soul, and the spirit. Yeah. In between, in the midst of the three of them, the main issue there, we know is the soul. Okay, we know is the soul. Now, the soul is using the body and using the spirit at the same time. There's no holiday. That is, it's not as though the spirit is suspended, it's not operating, or the body is suspended. You understand? So the two realms are operating with the soul at the same time. Now, even if I suspend it, it's not used because my spirit is operating, and the body is also operating, and so the soul is hearing. It has the capacity to operate in the spirit and in the body at the same time. You know, so the warfare I'm involved in also is at those levels at the same time. So if I'm trying to overcome and I'm concentrating only on the body, you know, it's not going to be effective because I have neglected, in fact, the major part of the thing I have neglected. In other words, so I must take the two of them together. Now, because I have to take the two of them together, I must go to the origin. And I must touch the touchstone, well, the foundation, the reality. And the reality is what I'm telling you, something called the image of the beast, the worship of the beast, the mark of the beast, the number of his name. Now, it's technical, so we'll get put off. Well, today I'm going to try to make it interesting so that we can look at it. Because my brother, if we don't touch it, we're just playing church. All this one we're doing here, pardon me, but we have not hit the mark. There is a mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's not, if a man that doesn't meet the mark, he has passed. Over 100, he gives you 40%. You have tried. He said, wait here. Let's wait for those who have 80 and 90. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about. So there is a mark. And it is not an excuse. If all of us go, this generation, this church, you come, we don't touch it. They will just say, stand aside. Let somebody else come. Let's see if he will touch it. That is the reality of the matter. And of course, none of us wants that experience. We don't want to be swept aside. You know. So let us see how we can touch this and make it a reality. Now, the reality is that the soul was branded. Let me use the word branding. You know, let me use the word branding because you will understand that. For instance, a brand, you know, when you talk about mark in the Old Testament and in the New, but let's look at the New. The New Testament is very good. A brother said I should talk about the New Testament. So let's look at the use of the word mark or seal in the New. The Greek word is charagma. You know, what does it mean? It means to put a seal, to engrave, to sculptor. Eh? What's the other one? To, of course, brand. Now, take in the Bible, in what situations do you put a brand? What is a brand? A brand means, I have a stain on this is my nice 80 ball. Eh? I have a mark on it, so simple, no problem. I'll try, if I wouldn't wash, I wouldn't allow that, I'll just go to the dry clean. So, dry clean. The dry clean is powerful because what does it do? They have special chemicals. They put on it, you wash it away. If they go to the dry clean, so I can, this one, we can't touch it though, because we cannot remove it. That means it is a mark that cannot be removed. Okay, so let's look at something. Abraham had a mark. By the way, you know, they say God put a mark on Saul. Is it Cain? Is that in your Bible? God put a mark. What mark was it? Was it a natural mark they were seeing, or a spiritual mark? Just think about it. But he put a mark on Cain. Okay, and the Bible tells us that there are people who should have a mark on their forehead, is it not? You see the same forehead? You go to Revelation 7, say there is an angel coming from the east. What is he doing? He's putting a mark. Okay, you're using the word, the right word, sealing. It's karagma, mark. In marking. You know, if you are using a sculptor, no rush. You sit down, a piece of wood. Every day. So of course, when we do one or two, we go home and say, God, I've been trying. I'm not changing. You are putting mark. And the devil has also been putting mark. So there are two types of mark. I'm talking about one. Before we come about the mark of the priesthood. Because there are two types of priesthood. You understand? Aaron was a priest. Alright? Upon which the real priesthood of Melchizedek is patterned after. You understand? That's one. But there's another priesthood unto darkness. And that mark was put upon Adam. The mark of darkness. He received the seed. Okay? Good and evil. His soul was marked. How do you know the soul was marked? His first son. What happened to his first son? He walked in darkness. Didn't Adam make an atonement for his sin? In fact, God made an atonement for him. God made an atonement for him. Applied the blood, but the blood did not take away the mark. You understand what I'm saying? That thing that God did, forgave his sin, this and so, but did not affect the mark. Therefore, his son transmitted. He transmitted the mark in his soul, into the soul of his son. And just to make sure we are all agreed that it happened. The man began to worship the beast. He began to manifest, to bring forth the darkness. So what am I? I'm talking about a mark in the mind, a mark in the emotion, the different parts of the soul. It's a spiritual mark. By the way, I was talking about Abraham. Abraham, is it not Abraham that says it's my sister? Is it Abraham? Is it the one? Is it Abraham?
Yes. What happened to his son? Did his son do it?
Yes.
Oh, his son did not do it. His son did it. In other words, the mark passed. Do you understand? There is a transference. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about this walking in the realm of the soul, okay, that has been transmitted. So Adam is not here, but he was here many years ago, 6,000 years ago. So can you imagine what's been happening? There has been a transmission. In every generation, it has been passing. Amen. And not just that, it's been passing and it has been dispersed in the soul of men. Amen. And with each generation, the mark is becoming stronger. Every generation, it becomes stronger. Every generation, and what is coming stronger is the darkness. You know, it's marking, it's branding the soul. Amen. Let's look at another thing about branding. I'm sure, I know this one because Brian used to talk about it, so I remember it. What does it say? It says, on the day of Jubilee, the trumpet will sound. Someone says, I love my master. He has been good to me. He married a wife for me. I have children. He has given me the vineyard. I'm the big man. I will not live by master. What did they say you should do? You bring the ear. What do you do to him?
You were born at all. And what do you do? All those things are there. What is it? Just summarize it, give it one word.
It's an identity. Now you're talking. It's an identification. When you see the man, you know he belongs to somebody. I don't know if you understand what I'm going to. When you see the man, in fact, each master had a different mark. In the days they sold slaves. Okay, not slave. If you go to Amawusa in Kodak, you know what you see there? You see different lorries. Inside the lorry, what would you see? Cow. How does Alhaji, you know Ibrahim, know that his own car different from Alhaji Sanusi? Alhaji Sanusi and Alhaji, you know Ibrahim. Sister, what would you do? They will brand the cattle. Amen. Say amen, then. So, where did it come from? It came. It's the same principle. So there is a branding that this one belongs to me. A branding that has the character and the nature of the owner. Amen. So we are speaking about the mark of the beast. What do you call mark of the beast? What is it? So we are going to the beginning. What is the origin of it? What's the origin of it? Origin of it is that there was a time when the soul of Adam was virgin, was plain, nothing was wrong. Then something happened. So that's the beginning. That's where darkness entered as a seed. And it has been multiplying ever since. It's been growing and growing and growing and growing. When God looks at me, he sees something. Now, when I look at myself, I may not see it, unless God opens my eye. God sees something. And let me use the word. My soul has a body. There is something my soul is carrying. It's carrying a mark. It's carrying a brand. Hallelujah. There's darkness deep down. It has entered. And when I have children, that thing is, that nature is transmitted. But I have the commission to unbrand it so that my children will not have it. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus did, by the way. He overcame me. So in the spirit, his children in the spirit will not have that mark, will not have that brand. But let's talk a little bit about this mark. What do you call the mark of the beast? What's the branding? What's the mark? So we're speaking of darkness. Now, darkness is a spiritual, something that is tangible, spiritual. It's an energy. It's an energy. They use the word egon, works, because of the energy of darkness. The devil, Jesus himself said, he said, this is the hour of darkness. And the power thereof. So there is something called the power of darkness. Because there is an energy in darkness. It's something that is working. Now, this, the principle is that the spirits of darkness, they need light. I hope you will not get tired of me. Now, these spirits of darkness, they need light. And they cannot get it from God. They cannot get it from God. So, they need to get it from someone who has access to God. So, in other words, they need somebody who can get the light, and then they will go to that person and take it. So, the spirits of darkness feed on darkness. And then remember, it is, we're talking about a spiritual relationship. Okay? Now, how do relationships work in the spirit? You know, when you're related to somebody in the, okay, naturally, if you're related with people, like today, you know, I go to work, I have staff who I work with, I relate with them, you know, and the rules of engagement are defined. You know, it's a master servant. I come to somebody, I have a junior officer, do this. I have somebody who is senior to me that I report. So it's all, is the rules of engagement are defined naturally. So also in the spirit, the rules of engagement in the spirit. Remember, I told you at the beginning that the spiritual component of you is always active. Even if it's like my heart, how many of you know your heart has a beating today? We're not talking about it. It has a beating. Whether you know it or not, it's beating away. So also, the spiritual realms of my soul and my spirit are functioning and relating with spirits in the heavens. In the same way as my body is related with Port Harcourt. So in other words, I am walking in Port Harcourt, but I'm also relating to the realms of the spirit. So I'm engaging in two different realms of reality. Now, there are two laws that are working. One is physical law, and that is the law of the body. One is physical law, that's the law of the body. All right, which is very clear. I can only be in one place at the same time. I only have two eyes. I can see forward. I can see in the back. I have two ears. So those are limitations that. But in the spirit, no. In the spirit, there are eyes within and without. So in the spirit, I can see what's happening. I can see today and I can see back. Somebody didn't say amen.
Amen.
What is going on today, man?
Okay.
Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
In the spirit, you can see tomorrow. In the spirit, you can see today. In the spirit, you can see in the back. Because there are eyes within. There are eyes in front, and there are eyes. So in the spirit, there is not just two eyes. There are multiple eyes. They say that they were full of eyes. That's what they're saying. There are capability to. So you call it. Say in this room there are four men. One has diabetes. If you have it, come now, and give the pastor money. You can use it wrongly. They are coming and say, God said there's a man yesterday. We were in Abba and he had an accident. If you are that person, come here now and give the offering to God. But that is you bringing it in a natural level. But we are applying it at the spiritual level. Okay? About the operation of the soul. When we're speaking about this image of the beast, overcoming that. And the reality is, how can I utilize it to be a son of God? How can I utilize it to overcome? It says a wise man says something coming. What does he do? Then what does he do? He sees. That's something we have not been able to teach. But I'm telling you, there is more seeing in the spirit than naturally.
Amen.
Naturally, I only have two dimensions. I can never see my back now. It's not possible. But in the spirit, I can be seen. Amen. So what are we saying? So, brethren, it's not only natural law. It's not only natural law. There is the spiritual law. Amen. So Jesus said to them, are you of so little faith that you cannot rebuke the wind, the storm? He said, what manner of man is this that even the elements do what? To obey him. Do you know why? Because, brethren, there is a dimension in you that doesn't have to submit to the natural. Hallelujah. And there's a man who showed it. You know his name? Yeshua. Hallelujah. Hey, and we are planning to be like him. Is it not so?
Yes.
We are planning. And that's why yesterday we talked about Lazarus. We will get to Lazarus. Lazarus is dead. 4 days. The Lazarus is my soul. He's been dead. Dead is thinking. Now my carnality is everywhere. I rise today, arrive today. I say, God, someone was praying. I say, I'm tired of this life. Why? Because he's thinking. We are thinking. But somebody is coming to wake up somebody. Hallelujah. You know, so the spiritual dimension in you is more real than the natural. But the thing is that something was collapsed. The spiritual collapsed. The spiritual was folded. And he went to sleep. He went to bed. Now, so we are speaking about an image. Now, the truth of the matter is that focus of darkness, called the seed of good and evil, whatever you want to, it is an altar. It is an altar. Now, what is that? By the way, the mind is full of altars. The mind is full of images. By the way, that's why they took the man. See, they took him to the high pinnacle, to the temple. You know, so the mind is filled with images, stone images, wooden images, ancient images, some coming down from the ages. Because in the mind, we're speaking about the conscious and unconscious. The ones you know, the ones you don't know, the ones I know, the ones. It's all entry. Everything is, you know. And an altar is a place where spirits meet. Okay, naturally, in my village, an altar is a place where a man goes to meet with a spirit. Is that true? Sister Ruth knows now. An altar is a place where a man goes to. There's one, Ojukwudiom. When you go there, you walk fast and pass. Why do you walk fast? Because... because there is a spirit that lives there. Amen. Say yes now. Amen. There's a spirit that lives there. And men go there to worship the spirit. But that is a physical thing. But we're speaking of this spiritual altar, this spiritual temple, that there is a place where there is a worship. Yeah. By the way, that worship, that place is also a place where God is worshipped. Hallelujah. My heart is also a place where I worship God. I bring an altar. So the altar in my heart serves both ways, darkness and light. All right. So I was talking about spiritual energy and spiritual power and all that. Now, the devil is interested in me, and devils are interested in me, particularly familiar spirits. That spirits that were in people down my line. I'm very important to them. If they are spirits of anger, they are going to take care of me very well. Bro, do you know what I said? They'll take care of me very well. Because I am their only source of food. When I get angry, they get energy. When I get angry, they get life. So they are going to pet me very well. They're going to ensure that nature, that lifestyle that makes me get angry, that I never overcome it. Because the day I overcome it, their meal is cut off. Hallelujah. So, I'm trying to explain a technical word, a technical reality, then we can start the word. I'm still trying to explain so that we can get to the word. So, there is when God looks at me, he's seeing an altar. Now, this altar, I was born with the altar. As I came into the world, there was something already there. It was a platform of darkness already. There was an engraving, a marking, or whatever, branding, whatever word you want. Man comes with it into the world. And in my lifetime, I have the assignment to do what? Break down that altar and erect another altar. Amen. 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 Now, Revelation calls it the image of the beast. What is an image? An image is something that is worshipped. Is that correct? Daniel set up an image. Nebuchadnezzar. And when he set it up, what did he say? He said, you come and you watch it. No. You have an image, you come and watch it. Hallelujah. So this thing, this what's talking about this reality in me is something that my nature worships. I was talking about spiritual engagement. That means when you meet a spirit, you submit to the spirit. Example. John. Say, I, John. I saw. What did he see? He saw an angel. What did he do to the angel? He went to shake the angel. He said, what did he do to the angel? He said, hey, brother. He said, no, I'm one of your brethren. When you meet the spirit, you worship the spirit. And the soul is in that kind of relationship with spirits. But there's a bad one. The soul worships itself as God. That's a very, very bad one. You understand? It sees itself as God. And worship itself as God. There's no greater God than self. Hallelujah. So my problem is not just sin. No smoking, no drinking, no partying. That's one. No, that's one evil settled. The greater evil is where? The greater evil is the one that there is an altar and say he as God, sitting in the temple as God, demanding worship as God. So, who is going to dethrone that self? Who is going to pull down that self? Hallelujah. And you can bet the devil will make sure you do everything else than to touch it. The Bible said that everybody in the whole world, that they said, who is able to worship the overcome the beast? Eh? Hallelujah. So we're looking at something in me that the devil has a big interest. His life depends on it. Not just him, he's the all the spirits that are working with him that are interested, because that is their food. They have a table, they have a dining table. Alright? And they are working to shape my lifestyle to be such that they have easy access to life. Amen. So there is something that they have to do. It's called deception. So there is a basic spirit working in my soul. What is it called? Spirit of deception. That is, for me to call good evil and call evil good. You call the bad good. You understand? So it's good and evil, it's mixed up. So there is something. There's a deception that is working within my soul. I have to overcome. So when I talk about, when we talk about spiritual warfare, I think I better look inward. Because that's really where the warfare, because there's a spirit that is working to work a basic deception to me. To make me think I'm okay. When I am almost in hell. To make me have a lifestyle, to love a lifestyle that gives me something. It's a facade. A feeling of being good when I'm dead. Give you an example. You know, when they bring the children, they're throwing, they say they throw the children into Tumolek. Do you know what they do? They beat the drum. The drums are very high, very nice drum. You're dancing, 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 dancing. Where's the baby going to? Baby is going to fire. The mother has to be deceived to take her has, you know, how long do you guys carry him? 9 months. That baby,
with all the emotional attachment, there has to be something done to my soul that will say, no, it doesn't matter.
In fact, that is better for the baby to go to the fire. Ah, it has to be strong deception. And the Bible said that God will send a strong deception to them, that they will do what? Believe a lie. Hallelujah. So let me apply it to myself. So is it possible that I'm in Montessori? Is it also? And I believe a lie.
I have climbed this. But meanwhile, the altar is getting big here. I am not even addressing the altar. Don't you understand?
If anything, I am bringing worship to the altar. In fact, more regularly than before. But I'm good. Jesus said, take heed. That there are many things that are dead. Is that what the scripture? What did Jesus say? Say, you have a name that you are alive. But what happened? Actually, it's not a deception. I believe I'm alive. But in reality, I'm what? Dead. It has to be a strong deception. That I am, my life is worthless, and I feel it is full of what? Of value. Don't you understand? I feel that I am doing great when I am far from the truth. It has to be strong deception. And that strong deception started 6,000 years ago. It has mastered human emotion and desire, and it knows how to meander and cover it. Amen. That's what you and I are against. So it's possible that even though, say the Ephraim, being armed for war, what did they do? They turned back in the day of battle. Is it possible? They were armed for war. But in the day of battle. Amen. That has to be strong deception. And armed for war. But when the day came, failed. Hallelujah. Okay, so I think I'm almost done with this summary. So, brother, I'm speaking about an altar, a platform. There are many names. But he told him, you want them. He says, whatever you do, if any man worship the beast, if any man receive the mark of the beast, you cannot please God. It's ultimate, because you can see, you know, that darkness must be removed. Because I cannot worship that altar and also worship God at the same time. Because he told the priest, you must also be marked. You must also be sealed. You cannot have two sealing at the same time now. It's either one remains or one goes. Alright, so let me read the first scripture, which we know very well. Revelation 7. It says, and after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners. If I should have said four corners of the soul. Alright? Because it's not east, west, and south. It's actually speaking about the four realms, four dimensions of the soul. Holding the four winds of the earth. That the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. How? He said, and I saw another angel doing what? Ascending from the east. Doing what? Having the seal or a mark or a brand. Amen. Of what? Of the living God. Hallelujah. So, there are two seals. There are two marks. For the same soul. For the same place. For the same mind. For the same forehead. Hallelujah. Would that be two marks? There can only be one mark. Amen. Okay, look at Revelation 9. Revelation 9, you see, Look at verse 4. Remember, we're talking about marking. He said, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but what? Only those who? Men. Who do what? Which have not the what? The seal of God. Where? In the mind. It's a matter of life and death, though. If I don't have the mark, the locust is coming for me. Amen. I thought I would hear amen.
Amen.
Read the first few verses. So. You see, when you open the bottomless pit, there was something that came, but a smoke. And out of the smoke came locust upon the earth. And unto them it was, they have a power, a ministry. And the scorpions of the earth have power. Scorpion means to torment. There's torment, fear, torment. Amen.
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 Fear is what?
Torment.
In fact, a man can even die before something happens. Is that correct, Brother Julie? Fear. That's the scorpion. The sting of the scorpion. Fear. The Bible says that the slothful man, he cannot even roast what he got from hunting. He has got to go and hunt. That's how he is. The one he has got, why am I going to say, no, if I go and the lion will kill me. Amen. Why? Fear.
But there is something saying, there is a way to overcome it. How do you overcome it?
Seal. Hallelujah. Say amen now. If I have a seal, the fear cannot touch me. Hallelujah. Is that correct? Is that correct? Hallelujah. You know, you have to think about it. Have you thought about it? Do you believe this word? Have you sat down and said, my soul, let's have a conference. Do you believe this word? Hello. You know what the man says? Proverbs says that the wise man does what? Say he will hide the word. Where? He will hide it. Amen. Okay, the man has come. He says, thy word have I hidden. You can pray from here to Abba and come back. Oh. You can pray from here to Abba and come back. That is to allow, enable you to do the right thing. It's not the fasting that is the issue. It's what you do when you are fasting. I hope you know that when the Bible talks about treasures of the heart, it's speaking about the unconscious dimensions of your soul that are in darkness. They need light. Amen. I said the entrance of your world. You need to enlighten the realms of the soul. You need to bring light. Judge that darkness, all the arrangements of darkness in your soul. Things that happened before when you were a child. You need to break down a lot of altars. I fear entered me when I, as a child, I saw snake.
Snake running. The snake was rushing through. From that day, I became afraid of snake. So, there's a demon I have to cast out.
You don't believe me? Okay. Alright. Yes. There are things that have settled down in the realms of the soul. Give an example.
He says that when a man hears the word of God, you know what he says? And he doesn't have understanding, what happens to that word? The devil goes where now? He goes into the realm of the soul. That's what he do. He catches it away. It means that the word goes down. Amen.
Okay, you don't want to answer me. Anyway, whether you answer or not, it's there. Amen. Let me give you a scripture. Can you show us Proverbs 26:18? Is it 26? I think it's 18.
Proverbs. 18:8. That's a principle there.
Oh, I like this scripture. Because this scripture is it was the turning point for me. Amen.
I pray to be a turning point for
me. Amen. Don't go around complaining. You're fasting. You just say, who eats food? You eat food. You pray. I eat food.
Hey. Have you done this? Have you done Proverbs 18:8? You can't forget it. Do you want to say 18:8? Don't forget. What does it say? Alright. The words of a tailor has what?
A move.
Where did they go down? To where? Innermost part of the what?
Belly.
What is he telling you? If you want to touch the parts of the belly, what do?
You say the word now. Hallelujah. Amen.
Yes, that's how you change your character. So that the word of God is what? Perfect. Do you want? Because that word goes deep down to the belly. Amen. And all the altars, all the bondages attaching. He said that hell is like, he said that the waves of hell, that the bands of death have circled around my soul. Don't you understand? All the rings, all the arrangements. Yeah? When the word goes, you should break them and set you free. Amen. Hallelujah. You want to minister to your soul? Get the word down there. Hallelujah. So, when you are fasting, what you are doing is that you want to suspend your natural law and activate the spiritual law. Amen. So, Moses was there 40 days, 40 nights, no food. So he was able to bring down the natural law and activate the spiritual law. Amen. I know the spirit, there's no mind. We don't have my one, my two, my three, four. In the spirit you are with God immediately. Amen. Or you are not. Hallelujah. So when you break down this natural law, you are with God. Amen. So you can always be with the Lord. And you know what? When you are there, you begin to hear trumpets, sounds, and not just, you see what? Images. Hallelujah. And you can even eat. But that's food there. Amen. See, the elders of Israel, they ate bread in the place of God. They had the dinner. Hallelujah. If your problem is food, they give you very food. In fact, by the way, they say it's called milk and honey. There's a place where there's milk and honey. What am I saying, brethren? There is the image of the beast. An altar in my soul where I bring offering to the devil. Where I bring offering to spirits. And these spirits are English spirits. They are dressed up very, very well. I have built up images. I have built up sanctuaries for them. And I protect them. Nobody can. If as the word is coming now, you know. Say, but it's not exactly like this. It's not exactly. What am I doing? I'm protecting and I'm, you know, protecting. Hallelujah. This one can go, but this one, no. I can't. If I remove it, I'll die. My life will be worthless. Hallelujah. It's called the image of this. It must be broken down. And sometimes it requires a strong hammer. And sometimes it requires a continuous dealing and a ministry. Now let's go back to the you know what where we read from Exodus 28, where it's talked about the high priest that must have a covering on the mind, holiness. What does that word holiness? What does it mean? It speaks of consecration, being dedicated, being single. None other. When you say something is whole, there is nothing again in it, is it not? That's what you mean by holy. That means my mind is given completely to God. It's not given to any other image. My mind is not worshipping any idol. You know, in our minds, we have idols, but we end time people, we have been so smart with God. We have devised a way to Christianize our idols. I'm not hearing amen. What's going on? Bro, is that correct? Huh? The images are in the mind. And we say we are end time, we are so and so, and we are actually under the impression that excites God. Amen. Idolatry is still idolatry. And the worst idolatry is the idolatry of me. I am the king. In fact, you call it the kings of the earth. And another one called the merchant. You know what the merchant of the earth means? A pleasure-seeking lifestyle. That is, all I am doing in life is to bring pleasure to the soul. But somebody is one that feeds on the pleasure. That demons and spirits lined up as the pleasure is coming in, that is feeding fast. So they make me believe that lifestyle of pleasure is, if it's not like that, I'm nobody. Image, mark, and so on and so on. And if anybody will touch it, we will come against it and attack that person, attack the ministry, knock it down, you know, and all that, until it keeps quiet. Then we are at peace. Amen. But God was very clear. He told him, said, the high priest, you must have a meter, an engraving. So I have a job to engrave. Now, give you an example of this engraving. Example. A man called Moses, he went up to the mountain 40 days, 40 nights. God gave him two stones, is it not? As he took one step, he began to hear. He said, Joshua, come on. Joshua said, that the people are having this. He said, this noise is not for master. Or for so, it looks like the people who are engaged in something. There's a problem here. But see, it was really for Moses. And Moses got there. You know what he did? He took the thing, product of 40 days of fasting, 1.5 months. What happened? He broke it. You know, theory is very good. Look, what I'm giving you a theory. Say amen now, Rakai. Theory, I give you a theory. I need practice. Amen. We should say amen now.
Amen.
There must be practice. So no one God told you, say Moses, I come up again. What are you going to do? You now right. And the man now began to agree. So when he came down, he was more careful because he first said, is he right? This is why I said, no, I'm not going back again. He was very careful now. Carried it. Amen. Amen. So you know the word is very sweet. It is the engraving. You know, because the engraving must go deep down, it's not there. Down to the belly. Hallelujah. So you and I must go beyond theory. Theory is good though. But it's good to know that there is the other side of the theory. Amen. It's a two-edged sword. Hallelujah. What is he saying? He's saying God is looking for a priesthood. And that priesthood is going to be holy. And the standard of that priesthood is holiness in the mind. If my mind is sealed, then the devil, something is happening. Now. If my mind is sealed, it's over. After it's over for the devil. Because nothing can come into my soul but through my mind. That's the entrance. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, there's something that I want to show you. I was telling yesterday I was sharing something. I saw a poster, Capital Church. My God is big where? I like it. Is God big in you?
My sister,
is God big in you? Not just that God is big, but that He's where? Hallelujah. Of course, they are looking, when they apply, they are going somewhere. I'm not going there with them. I'm going my own way. Amen. So let's just look at one aspect of that. Do you know that there's a river flowing from you? How many people in this room know that there's a river flowing from your soul? Okay, let me, when I say river, you say, is it Imo River? Oh, which other river that is flowing? I look at myself, I don't see any river flowing. Give me a scripture, what does it say? That out of the belly, belly is soul, isn't it? Belly is mind. My problem is that the strength, the energy in my mind is too low for the devil. Nice. When the devil does, ah, go there, there is nothing there. In fact, nothing is happening. The energy is so small. And he goes there, he runs around. Hallelujah. Give you an example. How is it that Jesus was coming? The man started shouting. Is it in your Bible? Ha! That's son of David! Ha! Torment us not! Yeah! The man has this energy.
He didn't talk. He didn't do anything. There was only one thing that could have done. I didn't give the scripture. He was walking around the road. The woman touched something. What did he say happened? Use the word now. Virtue. Hallelujah. I want to tell you there's virtue that's going for you. It's just that it's very small or very low. It's very low. The reason why it's slow is because there are many things working. You know, he said river was coming from the temple, but it was just like, so the man could run around. It was just a decision, it was just a place to meet him. I'm telling you, when the river starts flowing, but it will not be rich. Because there's a river of life.
Hallelujah. There's an energy coming. And without talking, the man will start shouting. Hallelujah. Now, if you believe the false doctrine, because there's a false doctrine which end time people have believed, is that we are different from Jesus. It's a false doctrine. And it's a holy false doctrine. Brethren, if you know a holy false doctrine, a false doctrine that is good. Is that enough? He's overcame because he's Jesus. That's why he overcame. How can I overcome because? Amen. Hallelujah. We talked about it today. We say, who is Christ? Okay, go back to that. God, listen to that message again. It is a false doctrine. And it's not going to save you and me. It's not going to excuse you. Neither will it excuse me. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Say the same spirit that was in Christ. It's the same spirit. By the way, when you go to the lampstand, everybody's there extreme one. Brother, you have seen it. How many people have seen that? In the lampstand, everybody is equal. The central stem and all the six branches are what? There's equality in God. In Christ, there's an equality. It's not an equality in power, but in nature. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's an equality with God in nature. He said the same piece of gold, he broke it and formed seven. And everybody's on the same height. Hallelujah. So, brethren, what we're saying is that there is a treasure, a river waiting to burst. There is something ready to comfort. But you cannot comfort unless this altar is dealt with. The altar must be broken down. He told Gideon, go and break down the altar in your father's house. And then come and talk this thing with us. Amen. So I hear a call. Say, let's go back. God is saying, go back. Go back. Go back to the beginning. Go back to basics.
Go and deal with the altars. Go and pull down. And more importantly, I must commit myself to a morning and evening engraving. Amen. There must be a morning and evening engraving. The marking, you know, when the sculptor, it looks so boring, he takes it. He's doing the same mark. He's marking it, the same thing. But he's making an impression, becoming deeper, every day, becoming deeper. Becoming deeper. Amen. And I believe there's a diligence that is being committed to us. The things we are sharing, we're not talking about prosperity. If your problem is prosperity, you are going to have a problem because you'll be disappointed. We're not talking about what else? What else should one be talking about? You know, getting employment, how to overcome, how to break through for your breakthrough to come. We're not talking about those things. But we are speaking about spiritual Babylon. Amen. We are speaking about pulling down the strongholds. We are speaking about exercising our spiritual man. You know, that word says that they that are full age, that have their senses, what? Exercise. That word exercise means to remove your clothes and begin to be an athlete. You begin to. The senses must be exercised. That's your ability to hear in the spirit must be exercised. Your ability to see in the spirit must be exercised. Hallelujah. You must begin to exercise yourself in spiritual things. Amen. And of course, right now we are exercising something. We are exercising our spiritual man. Say, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. I have slept too long. The brother says, awake, arise. Put on thy beautiful garments, O daughter of Zion. Too much sleeping. Somebody has been at ease so for so long, and you now believe that this ease is not the normal lifestyle. It's not. Amen. The front door of the soul is the spirit, not the body. But you can decide, I love my body so much, I must marry the body. So who have decided this body, this head, I'm going to be a natural, carnal, head by crocodile, serpent person. Amen. I get my energy from the head. I get my entertainment from the head. Amen. I get energy when I talk to my friends. We charge. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you that another church. Amen. Say, the Lord said to my Lord, sit down at thy right hand until I make thy enemies. Amen. When you begin to hear the chatting in heaven, hallelujah, and you are so begin to feed on it, your constitution will change. The appetite will change. Amen. You begin to be excited in spiritual things. Amen. You begin to be like the cherubims who, the only thing they do is to feed on the energy of God's presence. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's a priesthood God is raising in the land. And brethren, we are called to that place to begin to break down the altars and the idols. Amen. To be that priesthood where the mind is going to be overshadowed. And it's not just a theory thing, it's a practical. It's a daily lifestyle situation. It's a burden that I believe God is giving to us, and something we need to look at carefully. It's a place of overcoming. It's a place of much warfare, but it's also a place of overcoming. Amen. It's not milk. Because Hebrew, can you show Hebrews 5, the last verse? It's not milk. Because milk is different from meat. This is strong meat. Bone. It has to do with maturity. Children don't talk about the mind. It's adults that talk about the mind.
You understand? I don't know if you understand. Amen. Are you there? Hebrews 5. We'll end with it. Another day we'll talk about senses. That one is a different thing. Down to the end. Okay, look at this. For everyone. Okay, let's try to say, for the time. What does it say? Ye ought to be teachers. Montessori. Amen. What happened? You need that one, do I teach you again? The first principles. I need it because I have backsliding. Backslider needs the first principle, number one. Amen. And I become such and have what the word? Milk. And not strong meat. There are different grades. Milk is good. Feed. Everybody depends. Supermarket. Repress and it lands. Point and kill. All those things. Amen. Praise God for you also who are in that place. But there is something better. For everyone that usually is what? Unskillful. In the world? In the world. For he is what?
A babe.
There is a babe.
Techno. You differentiate techno. Small baby. Kare. Zaram.
Zaram Christian. Kare. He shall make noise. Say, oh, sorry. Amen. Everything will walk up to be open us and sorry. Hallelujah. Look at it now. But strong knees belong to them that are what? Maturity. Amen. Hallelujah. Even those who by what? Reason of what? You have their senses. Exercise. To do what? Discern. What? Good. Where is the good and evil that you are going to discern? Yeah? Where is the good and evil? You're looking well down. Your eyes must be open. Not natural eyes. You need the eyes of understanding what? Who eyes? All open. You begin to discern the altars that are deep down. Amen. Begin to address the altars. Begin to break down the altars. That means the man is beginning to see. The man is beginning to hear. Can you imagine? How can a man walk with God and not hear? Have you heard it? Say the Lord speak. Does God speak when he doesn't expect you to hear? Bro? He speaks. The man is not here, he's talking. If God, who is the Spirit, is speaking, then that means there is a capacity in your spirit to hear the voice of God. Amen. So everywhere speak, and the Lord says, noises are temporal. Because there is a reality that can hear God. Not to talk of sin. Hallelujah. If God speaks to my spirit, and my spirit speaks to my soul. And my soul speaks to my soul. You see the distance there is coming down. Amen. Hallelujah. Very soon there'll be a one-way traffic. Amen. I'm hearing from here to heaven. And heaven is hearing. Don't you see the ladder? Amen. I'm seeing from here down into heaven. And heaven is seeing right down. Hallelujah. Angels will be climbing and walking all over the place. Will be going and coming. I'm telling you, there's a channel. The rivers are about to burst. Amen. I don't know if you can hear the sound of the abundance of rain. If you tune your ears, you will hear the rumbling. It's about to rain. Amen. It's about to rain. You must dig your ridges. A farmer is about to rain. One of my workers said, "Oga, help me now. I want to go. It rained yesterday. I want to go to my farm." I said, "You? If I don't see the office to go today, you will see something." Amen. Every farmer knows that when rain falls, you run like a dig your ridges. Because That's why, because you know rain is coming to water it. And brethren, we are breaking the fallow ground of our soul.
Amen. All the altars, all the images, all the groves, all the things that we have built up.
He says, oh yeah, take a hammer, begin to hammer it down. Lord, we thank you. Amen. Lord, I come to you.
Let my heart be changed. Bring you flowing from the grave. Let your will unfold in my heart, in me every day. Yes, I pass.